So turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We are going to take a few weeks and we're going to look at a subject called A Heart Like David's. A Heart Like David's. So, and we're going to look at a number of different psalms. Now, not all of the psalms were written by David. Some are very obviously attributed to him. Some are maybe a mystery. Some there's maybe argument. And then some are very much not David's psalms. But we're going to look at some of the psalms of David. But where we can, we're also going to look at what were the circumstances around when he wrote that psalm. What was happening in his life? What was happening in his heart? Because it will give us really incredible insight that we can also cultivate a heart like David's as we navigate all the circumstances of life. You know, the Bible is a very relational book, all right? It is not an engineering manual. It is written between personalities. And so God is communicating to people that he loves. We are responding back to him. And it's this interaction from Genesis to Revelation of people and personalities in God and man and God. And the Psalms are very, very relational as well of our heart to God. And sometimes we hear God making instruction or commands to us in that as well. So the Bible is not just a history book, although it does contain some history, but it helps us in our life. And as we are in a situation, this worldwide pandemic of COVID, how many of you are just ready for it to be done? Okay. I saw a great meme, I think yesterday, and it says, whoever was supposed to go to Nineveh in 2020, please go. I wish it were that simple, right? But please go to Nineveh if you need to go to Nineveh, all right? But here's the thing. God is still God. We are still his people, and his word will give us insight as we navigate living in a life, living in a world that's not perfect. And there is a time where it's all going to be completely without flaws, and that's called heaven. And I'm looking forward to it, but that's not today. So what do we do in the meantime? All right, so we're going to read through Psalm 27. Then we're going to go back because much of the wording and what David says gives us an indication of what was happening in his life. All right, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So can you tell that David did not write this from a spiritual retreat camp, right? On where people are singing hallelujah around him and he's had 10 hours of small group fellow. It sounds like he is writing it in the middle of a battle, isn't he? Okay. So what was going on around him? Some of the Psalms, just in their kind of introductory lines, it just says, after David heard from the prophet Nathan, or after this happened. So in this one, we kind of have to do some investigation and to figure out, well, what was happening? All right. So one thing we can see from this psalm is he was not in Jerusalem. Okay. He was not home, and he was longing to be at God's temple. All right. So he was away. All right. So not just away from home, but Jerusalem also meant that you're not near where the manifest presence of God was on the earth. All right. And we also see very, very clearly that people are pursuing him. People are after him. Okay. And these people are not arguing with him about an invoice. All right. He makes this line. He says, they want to eat my flesh. Okay. These are life-threatening circumstances, and he is on the run. Okay. People smarter than me and most scholars agree that this was written when David was on the run from King Saul. Okay. So David is not yet king, all right, but he was serving Saul, and Saul became jealous, later went into the occult and literally went mad. Okay, if you look at the stories in 1 and 2 Samuel, right? And it's a horrible, horrible account. Again, we've said this. If you want to be a good leader, pretty much look at Saul and do the opposite. And you'll probably be a good leader if you just do opposite of what King Saul did. All right. So David is in trouble. And in life, we face trouble. All right. Jesus said many are the tribulations that we will face in this life. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, where you'll have tribulation. So let's ask ourselves, why was this happening to David? All right. And sometimes in life, we don't know why. We could be a little bit in the dark. But this one, from when we read the Bible, it's really, really clear why this is happening. All right. Was David insulting the king? No. Did David gather an army and was planning a coup? No. What was David doing that stirred up the wrath of Saul? David was being awesome. David was being loyal. David was putting his own life at risk to lead King Saul's armies against King Saul's enemies. And he was winning. You talk about hashtag winning. David was, every battle. And it was in that situation. And even when Saul was going crazy, God would anoint David to play a harp and the spirits would quiet. All right. So there is really nothing that we can see to say, David, you caused Saul, or you instigated, or you certainly stirred up trouble. No, David was innocent and Saul was horribly guilty. All right. So today, 2020, some businesses are closed and some schools are closed. Some people are facing very, very tough situations. And we are very aware at Miracle Life that some of you are facing where your business or what you're doing, it's okay. And you're still able to do what you need to do and look after your family. We are also very aware that there are folks at Miracle Life, you are in trouble. and it feels like everything is caving in, all right? And you could say, well, what did I do? And there may be many of you in this situation right now where you didn't do anything. The business closed. The orders got canceled. Things happen, and it is very much affecting you. All right, so when we go into Psalm 27, what will really help us is, what was the response of David to circumstances that were not his fault, that he didn't cause? Now, I know it's sad, and with this worldwide pandemic, people still want to point fingers. Isn't it weird? And, you know, we're praying for wisdom for government officials and other governments, because it affects us as well. All right. But we want to pray that God will use smart decisions. All right. But as far as I can tell, somebody could correct me, I don't think there was an evil mastermind guy somewhere that concocted this and said, I want to bring down the world. If that's the case, then I guess we can put him in prison, but or her. But it just seems like it's part of living in a thorn-infested world, all right, where stuff happens. So did you and I cause it? No. Does it affect us? Big time. Big time. All right, so what do we do? Let's go to David. Let's understand his heart. Let's understand his response and his reaction. All right, now, in the weeks to come, some of the other pastors at Miracle Life are going to look at some psalms that are really important, because there were other times in David's life where it wasn't Saul chasing him, it was David messing up. All right, and so we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of godly, honest people in our life at times to say, you know, this actually was fairly self-induced. All right. You know, if you got in a horrible, horrible business deal or horrible relationship or contract, nobody put a gun to your head. You picked up a pen and you signed it, and you were there when it happened, right? Okay. So what do we do when it is going to be on us? Well, we'll look at that in weeks to come as well. But really the same answer is, we have to turn to the Lord. All right. So there is an enemy, and what do we do? How do we navigate what feels like something coming against us? All right. Verses 1-3, if we go back to Psalm 27. Verses 1-3, David, in that passage, in that section, David realized who God is. Who God is. And this was not an answer to an exam question. This was his heart. This was his song. This was his prayer. And he made this. He said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life." This isn't just what mama told me. This isn't what the preacher said. This is who I know God to be. You can put up verse 1 there. Yeah, perfect. David knew who God was personally and accurately, biblically. All right. We have to have a relationship with God that is based on the truth of who God says he is to us. All right? Well, you know, I kind of like to see God as, you know, like the friend who I play soccer with, you know, and we kind of hang out. Well, the Bible doesn't say God is your football friend. So don't make God into something that he's not, because there's enough of who he is that's so awesome. Let's go ahead and have an accurate biblical relationship with God based on what he said. So David got it right. The Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. All right. Now, in that passage also, verses 1-3, David is fully aware of his enemy. David is fully aware of what his enemy can do. All right. So our response to COVID is not to live in a cave or to turn off the news. we kind of need to hear what's going on, don't we? We need to be aware. We need to have the facts. How is it spread? We need to be informed well, all right? Not by your grade 6 graduate friend on Facebook who has no idea what he's talking about. Drink some Dettol and it'll all go away. No. Okay. So David was aware of what he was facing. He was not blinded to his enemy's potential, all right? But he was aware of his enemy, but he was also aware that his God was greater than his enemy. His God was more powerful than his enemy. He noted that what they tried against me, they failed. All right. And then verse 3, this is so powerful here. Though an army may encamp against me. How many of you know that would be troublesome, wouldn't it? All right. I would be not real happy if there was an army on our border. Okay. That was coming against people in this nation. But imagine if there was an army that was encamped. It wasn't just against your nation. It had you on their hit list. All right. Not a person or two, but an army was encamped against you. How many know that would be a really good excuse to be afraid? All right. What did David say? My heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. And one of the things that the Bible tells us, and we really need to take heed to this, is that what's going on in our heart, that's on us. Okay, that is up to us. Now, can armies influence our heart? Sure they can. Can taunts and threats and worries and those, yeah, sure they can. But what ultimately is going on in our heart, we are the ones who have to manage that. And so David says, even though this is happening, my heart shall not fear. All right. So David responded. David looked to the Lord. And then verse 4 is perhaps kind of the turning point, really a key part in this whole psalm. Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I wait passively for. No. That will I seek. That means I will go after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All right. How many of you have a day or a week where you've got where you have a to-do list? Hopefully you've got a to-do list. Right. I learned long ago that I've got to write it down. I've got to put it somewhere. All right. Maybe my brain is just so filled with so many other awesome things. All right. But if I go to the grocery store without a list, who knows what I'm coming back with? All right. It's an amazing thing. But anyway, if I've got a list. All right. And typically on our list, we've got different things on the list. Right. And we might have one that is more important than another. All right. But what David is really saying right here is I've only got one thing on my list. One thing, not one among other things, but one thing in the midst of my enemies trying to kill me and eat my flesh, armies against me. One thing. One thing. Well, certainly you're going to hire a general who's a great tactician. Maybe you're going to get spies to go into the enemy to find out what is going on. Now, what was the one thing that David purposed in the midst of all this? God. God. I want to be with God. David had a preoccupation with God. All right. Now, I truly believe that is one of the reasons that, because if you and I have the advantage of knowing the whole story of David, that when David was hiding from Saul and they were in the cave, remember? And Saul goes into the cave and the Bible says to relieve himself. Isn't the Bible awesome? It just tells us stuff, you know, like that. So he goes into the cave, and David's men tell David, because here comes King Saul, and he is occupied. All right, he's not thinking of David in this situation. And David's guys say, David, the Lord has delivered Saul into your hand. They even spiritualize it. Right? They didn't say, you can get him for all he's done to you. This is now your time to get vengeance. No. They said, this is actually a God moment. This is a God moment. And David was the only one who knew enough about God and God's word to realize this is not God. Mm-mm. God is the one who put Saul in his position. And if he's going to be removed, that's on God. All right? That's really what we use that term not well. Don't touch my anointed. All right? But that's what in that context is, I am not going to do this. God is going to do this. All right? And then he speaks to Saul, and Saul repents. Saul can't believe that David would treat him such a way. All right? But how did David have the wherewithal in that moment to know God? It's because he never left God during the storm. He never stopped gazing upon the beauty of God when times were troubled. All right? And so, boy, I wish we could snap our fingers tomorrow and make this all go away. All right? And I wish, I wish the prophecies of 2020 in January were all true. I've traveled into 2020 and I've seen all the months and they're great and they're all. I so wish that would have come to pass. Okay? But what do we do? What do we do? If we have a heart like David, here's what we do. In the middle of the trial, in the middle of the circumstance, we have a preoccupation with God. With God. We gaze upon him. We behold his beauty. Amen. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, if you've been at home or in the office or something like that, and you're kind of all stuck in doing something or a project or work, and then you go outside and you realize it's actually beautiful outside. Man, the sun is shining. It's so nice. Well, guess what? Here's the deal. It was nice. You just didn't know it. You are not aware of it. The beauty of God is constant. It's up to us to behold, to be aware, to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And this concept that we see here of David saying that I will do this, it's very, very consistent with other parts of the Bible. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Seek first. All right. Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 12, we're running a challenging race with lots of distractions, lots of things that are going on. What was the author of Hebrews? What did he say to us? He said, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. And here's the thing. It's not waiting for Jesus to knock on your door and say, hi, it's Jesus. No, we behold, we go to, all right? David used these verbs in that section. He said that I will dwell in God's house, that I will behold God's beauty, that I will inquire from the Lord. Dwell, behold, inquire. Remember grade 4? What are those words? Action words, verbs, doing words. Who does them? Tell your neighbor, I do them. I do them. I do them. Now, when do I do them? All right? When the keyboard has got the soft Benny Hinn thing going. No. When the armies are around you, I behold the beauty of the Lord. When flesh-eating enemies are at your door, I behold the beauty. I dwell in the house of God. Now, in David's day, all right, the presence of God was literally in a place. Okay. Thank God today, the presence of God is within us. The Holy Spirit who comes to live and abide within us. All right. But we can be more or less aware of his activity. All right. The Bible says we can let him lead us. We can also grieve him. We can ignore him. Okay. So be active in seeking God. All right. Be active. All right. So, I was trying to picture myself in David's circumstance. And here's this person that you've never done anything wrong to, and they're after you and they're fighting you. All right. And they're not just making snide comments. They literally want to kill you. They want to wipe you out. Okay. And it would seem that there would be such a temptation to be preoccupied with them. With them. All right. You know, I'm afraid that some people today, if they were writing Psalm 27 on Facebook, they would say, some kings, you give them your best and this is how they treat you, right? But that wouldn't make the canon of Scripture because it's not anointed. It's not Holy Spirit inspired, okay? So, but it would be such a temptation to let that be what dominates you. Not David. I'm going to behold, I'm going to dwell, I'm going to inquire. I'm going to be close with God. Because that was his lifestyle, all right? In verse 7, we see this kind of, verse 8, this kind of back and forth. David says, I cry, God has mercy. God says, seek me. And David says, okay, I'll seek you, all right? And this reminds us, this conversation, this response, that God is not a wind. God is not a force. God is not a feeling. Okay. More and more people really, really are making up their own gods these days. Okay. I read I can't remember what celebrity, many, many celebrities that grow up as in a Christian home or a Christian environment have left that faith. But here's what they say. Well, I don't really believe in Jesus, but I believe in a higher power. What do you mean a higher power? No, his name is God Almighty, Yahweh, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one, the Trinity. Amen? He has a name. He has a personality. He's not just a higher whoosh power. No, we don't get to define and make this up. And so God is having this conversation, this interaction with a person who's after his own heart, we know from the Bible. All right? And so we can have the same thing. All right? Predictable and reliable responses from a God who has revealed himself to us. Predictable and reliable responses. All right. So David has this response. Now, go to verse, let's see. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Notice this phrase. You have been my help. You have been my help. Boy, another thing to do when we are facing tough times is to go back into the history of your life and see the hand of God and remind yourself and to see that he has been faithful. All right. And we all have different testimonies. There are different fingerprints of God in our life. All right. But it's like, you know, a line from a song. He's never failed me yet. And he never will. Okay. You have been my help. Then in that context, do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. So what David knew about God from the past affected how he prayed about today and what he prayed about tomorrow. Right. Now, for some of us, is it new? Is it different? Perhaps it is. Is it a challenge that we've never yet overcome? Perhaps it is. All right. But the same God that helped you 5 years ago is the same God that will help you today. All right. He's a faithful, faithful God. In fact, that was one of the, if you remember God's response, again, God is responding to his people, is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they would freak out and they would begin to complain and they would begin to murmur. One of the things that God says repeatedly was, "Did I not bring you out of Egypt? Who fed you with manna? Who made water to come from the rock?" All right. And so what that tells us is that God is expecting us to remember. He's expecting us to know what he's done in our life. He's faithful. He's faithful. You have been my help. Okay. This would have been post lion, bear, Goliath. God's already done some things for David in his life. Amen. Verse 10, "My mother and father forsake me. The Lord will take care of me." Now, it's even hard to read that verse, isn't it? Mother and father forsake me. And I think what that can tell us is even when the people that you rely on the most don't come through. Because for a child, mother and father, I mean, there's not 10 other people, is there? Right? Those are the two primary people that God has put into our life for a season of our life to be the greatest blessing to us. Okay? And here's the thing. They forsake me. It means they were intentional about it. They just walked away. All right? David said this, "The Lord will take care of me." Now, should the king be acting this way, Saul? No, he shouldn't. Should we have figured out COVID? Should we have a whatever? I don't know. But here's the thing. The Lord will take care of me. The Lord will take care of you. That's not a prophecy. That's scripture. Amen. And so say that over your life. Say that over your family. Amen. "Teach me your way, O Lord." So David didn't just say, "Zap me up, fix it," but he said, "Teach me your way." And because of time, we'll just finish here on verse 13. "I would have lost heart unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord." When and where? On planet Earth. In the land of the living. And thank God we have a blessed hope. Thank God for heaven. And it is real. And anyone who leaves us through death, we have this comfort, don't we? We don't grieve as those without hope. But the other thing is, David said, I believe, I won't just see God's goodness then. I'm going to see it while I'm still in my earth suit body. I'm going to see it while I'm still alive. Amen. So don't lose heart. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you that we can have a heart like David's because he had a heart after you. God, we have even a more of a reason to have a heart because of what you've done for us in Christ. Father, thank you for your precious, mighty Holy Spirit who lives and abides with us forever and ever. If you're in this place or if you're joining us online, and you would say, "Pastor, I'm not really sure I'm dwelling in God's house. I'm not sure that God's dwelling in my house. I don't have a relationship with God. Jesus is not my Lord and Savior, but I would like for him to be." If that's you or you're backslidden, we want to pray for you. And if you just listen to instruction, if you're here in this auditorium physically, what we'd ask you to do right now is raise up your hand. Say, "That's me. I want to begin to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to say yes to him. I want to receive him." Anyone at all in this auditorium, just lift up your hand. We would love to pray with you. All right. If you are with us online, and we are so thankful, many, many of you have made this decision while looking at a cell phone or looking at a TV. But if you're online and you would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I need to. I want to receive him. All right. Here's what we'd ask you to do is right there in the comments, say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Say, I'm receiving him now. All right. If you put that in the comments on Facebook or YouTube, then somebody's going to contact you today. They're going to contact you today to pray with you, to help walk with you, and to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Amen. And today can be the first day of eternity.